B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Three on two the other way. Hall feeds up the line right side. Smith saucers back to Hall. Couldn't pull off a shot. Smith shoots. He scores! Craig Smith got a loose biscuit at the bottom of the right wing circle and whistled it inside the near post. Bruins 2, Sabres 1. Jake DeBrusk with a chance to win it. DeBrusk wheels into the slot, shoots, he scores! A rocket top shelf by Dustin Tokarski, and the Boston Bruins will cascade off the bench. They win it 3-2 in the shootout over the Buffalo Sabres, and they've won all three matchups this year.
The Sports Hub, where Dutcher and Rich, a cast of new stars, taking the ice last night as the Boston Bruins win in a shootout 3-2 over Buffalo. Billy Jaffe, you saw him, as my kids point out on television. Tough Jewish guy, they say. Billy Jaffe. Bruins analyst for Nesson, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe, that is actually what they say. That is actually what they say. That is
you're
what their mom is talking about.
Oh. You're the old TJG.
That's what my wife. That's what my wife always says.
I don't know. Tell you what. How about Kevin Miller tough?
That's
I wish
right.
We could have some of that. Nick Ritchie tough. Holy smokes, those guys. Those guys got after it. I gotta give credit to those, especially Tage Thompson going with Kevin Miller. That's tough.
Kevin He's Miller bigger than
is
him.
A beast. He is a beast. Yeah, but that Kevin Miller is. And he studies the fighting, and he understands positioning and MMA and punch angle, all that stuff.
Did you watch the Probert documentary, Tough Guy?
I didn't. No, I'd love to.
Oh, you got it.
Because I got to know Bob real well when he was with Chicago when I was there. He's awesome. And what you grew up with you? I mean, you had to have loved him.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. They had him and Kosher at the same time, which was insane. They had two guys. And Probert was actually a good hockey player. I'm sorry to keep bringing this up, but there is a reason I'm doing it. When he was in Chicago, I guess he was much, much better behaved. He wasn't getting arrested every day.
Yes,
but
he was.
They talk in the documentary about they talk to Chris Chelios and stuff. And Chelios actually, they have video of it. Him on the ice, this is unfair. Like you're so high. Like, you're acting, insane, you can't be doing this. Did you ever go up against anyone when you were playing that was, out of control? That you just didn't, Probert knocked out a goalie, just out of the blue, hit him in the face. And he was doing, weird stuff that was making people very uncomfortable because he wasn't, really playing hockey anymore. He was, it really was a movie.
He was... in many ways asked to play that role, encouraged in the sense of, he made it as a monster out of the Canadian Junior League and he was an absolute beast. And it was a different world then. And Bob, and I will get to your question in a second, but Bob, I was with him in Chicago. He was well-behaved. In fact, when he would go out, it was the near beer, the no beer, whatever it's called, the non-alcoholic beer. And the most soft-spoken, genuinely kind, sweet guy sitting down,
it
was
save
phenomenal.
It all for the ice,
people would say, no, he didn't save it for the ice. In Chicago, he did. When he was, I was at my friend's house when Bob and my friend's uncle showed up.
Bob was out of control, but in Detroit, and that's where he got in trouble off the ice. But Bob, they would say, too, a lot of times if you go down and you watch his videos, Rich and Fred and Johnny, a lot of times he was a hibernating bear. And it would be he'd get into the scrap and he'd let you hit him two or three times. It's like the old cartoons, whack, whack, whack. And then he'd be he'd shake it off. And he'd be okay, I'm awake now. See you later.
Yeah.
And he would just get after him. But you're at the real Fred. I only played college, and so in college you had guys that ran around, And it was, it's different than in, especially in the Canadian Junior League or in the minors, where guys would, you know, I remember watching guys as a broadcaster, a very young broadcaster, you know, that would just get, there was a guy, Francis Lessard, you know, the stories of Frankie, and he, another awesome guy out of the Quebec League. He'd be throwing around the garbage can in the locker room, tossing it all over the place and get on the ice. And he'd have like a roll of tape on both ankles to keep him upright. Man, oh man, if you were the goalie, if you were the, I mean, Frankie Lessard, and he was just phenomenal dude too, off the ice. But he was out of control. Yeah, I mean, like, he was that kind of guy. So, anyways, I love Bob Probert. You bring him up. I miss Bob Probert. Died way too young. And the other guy you mentioned, Joey Kocher. Joey once hit the side of – I played in a tournament with Mike Hartman. You want to talk about a really tough Jewish guy? Mike Hartman, former NHL. He was real. And I TJG. Played with him. He was – no, he was an NHL fighter, too. I played with him in Israel for the first World Maccabee Games. And Hardy got into a fight with Team Canada, some guy in Team Canada in an exhibition game. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. This was awesome, you know. But Hardy said that he got into a scrap with Joey Kocher one time, and Joey wouldn't hit you straight on. He had these mammoth wrists, and he would come at you like a jackhammer from the side, and he hit him so hard in the side of the head he couldn't hear for a couple of days out of that ear,
ooh,
you know, that he caught him. So those were tough sons of guns.
Real quick, and then John's over there giddily laughing. I'd have to figure out what it's about. But
I'm watching Frankie Lessard videos right now.
I am, too. I'm watching Probert videos.
He was the guy when he fought and his helmet came off, he still had his head covered. But the Joey Kocher showed up to a show I was working at in Detroit, and his hands had calcified. And his knuckles were just one big knuckle. Like, it was just one slab of bone. It was disgusting. Yes, John, you're over there giddily laughing.
I was looking because you guys are talking about Probert, and I figured, okay, he must have had a lot of penalty minutes in one season. Bob Probert, when he was 22 years old in 1988, 398 penalty minutes in one season.
And how many games did he play? Because I guarantee you he got arrested at least five or six times that year.
74 games.
Yeah, the 8 games he didn't play were because he was in jail, because he got arrested everywhere.
He was so good for those few years. He had 30 goals.
He was an all-star.
He was so good.
He was an all-star one year.
Amazing. And there were times early in his career, I think he was part of that crew that would have a cigarette in intermissions. They were the old school Red Wings. Anyways, off top, all I was getting to was how hard these guys hit. And Kevin Miller and Nick Ritchie was involved last night in the scrap. The Bruins with an acceptable victory last night, in the sense of it isn't always easy integrating players into the lineup and stuff. But it was fun to see some emotion, too, and the guys stepped up. And anyways,
So Billy, a guy emailed me. I don't even think I praised Taylor Hall. I don't think I even commented on Taylor Hall's performance, because what do I know? And the guy said he had been watching Taylor Hall all night, and Taylor Hall was absolutely horrible. His opinion on Taylor Hall was that he was horrible. What is your opinion on Taylor Hall?
I thought he was struggled in the first, started to figure out a little bit in the second, you know, and then in the third I saw some better flow to his game, you know. Taylor Hall hasn't played a game in 10 days.
Right.
He was, you know, held out for, what, was it 4 or 5 games by the Sabres to protect the asset. I didn't think he was great, but I thought he wasn't. He got better. He turned the puck over a few times, especially in the first. There was one, you know, real egregious to the middle of the ice. He knew it. You could tell right away. There's going to be a period of time that it's going to take for him to, A, get his – legs, and B, get his head wrapped around who he's playing with and how he needs to play. So he wasn't great in game one, but his game is a little different than the other guys, like a Curtis Lazar, who played really well, who plays a simple straight line game. And you heard it. You guys heard it too. Hall is not confident right now. And you can look at his body language. You can see that. And that has to be figured out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It has to be for him to play effectively.
But you like that, you know, where he's been put. And you like, I mean, that line seems like it's going to be perfect for him, because he doesn't have to be the guy. And unlike the other situations that he's been in, you know, it seems like he's being put in a position to have some of that burden that's been on his shoulders off. You know, almost like a pretty good place for him to succeed.
Look, you all you have to do is look at his past teams and see the leadership or lack thereof that surrounded him. And, you know, you've seen this with a few other young players in the league. And at by the time they're 25, people are like, oh, this guy's no good. Well, you haven't surrounded him with any players that would be it. So I hope that Taylor Hall on this line, he and David Krejci both like the puck on their stick. And that's where the communication and is going to have to continue real, you know, quickly. So they understand. There's not going to be a lot of zigging and zagging. I don't. If Taylor Hall comes, and he shouldn't try to come to the middle of the ice too much. If he can use his real good straight line wide speed and then drive to the net, hopefully Krejci will increase his pace just a little too and hit him with pucks and stride and allow Hall to push back defense from blue line in. But Krejci is the player that likes to have the puck on his stick in the neutral zone. So that, Rich, is where I still think it's got a lot of potential, this combo, but it has to be communicated and has to be worked out in that regard.
I was interested to hear that in the pregame that Lazar was a captain for Team Canada, which is interesting that a kid at that level is a throw-in on a trade. So, you know, I guess that speaks highly of him. So,
yeah, listen, he's a guy that had to readjust his, you know, Fred, you know this well in all sports, just because you're a star at one level doesn't mean you're going to translate to that same role at the next level. And that's the hardest thing for these kids in any sport. But here you get a guy like Curtis Lazar in 2015, Team Canada captain, a big time goal scorer in the Western Hockey League in the sense of, you know, still a physical guy. I wouldn't call him like beast mode, but he's an aggressive skater, likes the physical element to his game. But he became that classic tweener at the NHL level of, am I going to be a scorer or a checker? He's going to get his goals based off of his hard effort. And that's why to the Bruins, he was anything but a throw in, Fred. This was, fourth line needs that identity.
Okay. All right. So he was someone that they had been targeting. He wasn't just a throw in to them.
No, not at all. Okay. Because they know Donnie Sweeney and management knew that this fourth line has not achieved the identity and the level of impact. This season in particular, it's been obvious that it hasn't gotten to that level. So they bring in a guy that they hope, let's hope, it's been one game, but let's hope can play between 12 and 15 minutes, can play center and right. His better position is probably center. Maybe that frees up Corrali to just skate or Frederick to just skate that left wing side.
I thought they might trade Corrali. I thought that they...
Well, I thought they may... They wouldn't have surprised me either, if only because, you know, his contract. But now they don't need the space right now.
No.
So play it out and see if they can get the big boy on the left side going too.
All right. Well, listen, Billy Jaffe, great stuff. We had
real quick, Fred. I just watched one of these Frankie Lazard fights. Boy, this is only 20 years old. They used to let them fight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't have to strap down your uniform. You didn't have to strap down your jersey. And so you were basically naked from the waist up fighting. And they didn't stop it.
Went on for almost a full 60 seconds,
dude,
which is an eternity.
I grew up in Detroit, dude. They fought. They were terrible. And for the first, when they had Kosher and Probert, they weren't good. They got better later, and then Demers ruined everything. But they fought every night. Like, they fought 60-minute fights every night. It got boring.
If you really want to go down the rabbit hole of hockey fights, go find, like, a guy like Frankie Lazar, or there's some other amazingly heavy-duty heavyweights. Go into the Quebec Senior Hockey League. They've had different names, but if you want to go to that, because those games were attended by like the equivalent of like Hell's Angels in Canada, throughout Quebec.
They were like Red Wing
games.
Those
fans, they wanted, you know, they would get fight. And some of these former tough guys from the NHL, like a Frankie Lazard, would go back home to Quebec and then play in the Quebec Senior League National Hockey League. There's a few different names of it or whatever. I'm telling you, it's a rabbit hole of hockey.
Oh, my God. There's a dude who played for that league. Is it Dominic Forcier? He's 6'7", 320 pounds. And he gets a 320-pound hockey player. And he's fighting a dude that's 6'4", 260. Yeah. Oh,
that's,
come
that's
on.
A heavy. That just put the fat dudes on skates.
They fall on each other and the fight's over.
This is the best fight ever.
You're not going to the game. Gretzky wouldn't have.
I'm telling you, the fans were as tough as the guys on the ice. I mean, so are still are. I mean, it's a league where the guys would go up and former NHLers would get $1,000 a game to go out there. They'd fight three times. Great. They'd be kicked out. They'd be having beers in the stands after.
$1,000 a game. It's slow motion. It's two fat guys, and it really looks like they slowed the camera down.
Well, because they're out of breath automatically. That's not easy.
It takes a while. Yeah. It takes some energy to skate around out there. Yeah. You can't,
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, you got the podcast with Ray Kroc. Yeah. We had him on Monday. Good stuff.
Nothing morning but glowing things to say about you, Billy.
And
he's the best. He's the best. We're having a great time. Yes, it's a coffee thing, Fred.
Yeah, hey, I know. You know what? You illustrate that.
We're
going
to have to get one of these to you guys soon. Okay. Don't break it in. The brew, the coffee. Well, I'm showing it on
StreamYard. Ask Wall, because he gets very offended when Rich and I are asked to lend any sports anything to anything.
Yeah, you got to ask me first, Billy.
He gets very upset. He gets very upset.
Please, Johnny, please.
All right.
Please, John. Good. The one voice of reason and knowledge.
Right.
All right. Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for the time.
There's one of these fights in the senior league where, like, they're shirtless by the end of it.
Oh, sure.
And there's two dudes shirtless fighting each other on the ice. They've taken off everything. They've taken off their pads. They're just dudes in skates with no shirt or any kind of pads from the waist up. Oh, this is great.
You know, it's interesting how much the game has evolved. I mean, Dave Schultz, who played for Philadelphia, is a legend. He has the record for most penalty minutes in a season. And you remember
Team was ridiculous. They had to change the rules. Right. That team was ridiculous.
But you remember Probert. I said 398. Schultz had 472 in one season.
Schultz would go on the – I mean, all I know is from, you know, watching documentaries on it. But, like, that Flyers team – like
Broad Street Bullies.
You would go to play hockey and they would just fight.
Yeah.
Just fight and use their sticks and hit you in the face.
Yeah, Schultz had 405 one year and 472 the next year.
Yeah. Like, do you think Schultz could play hockey? Or, I mean, they just strapped
like 9 goals. Yeah.
Yeah. They strap skates on a lunatic and just go out and hit people.
It just game's just different, man. It's very different.
Fat guy hockey fights might be my favorite new obsession.
That's the thing but you can get overrun with it, and then it just gets really boring.
Well, right now, it's phenomenal because, first of all, like, how do they continue to stand up? And just seeing a fat guy on skates is pretty amazing anyway.
Like Billy said, they just, if your ankles can't give because they're hoisted in 10 rolls of tape a foot.
Good point.
That's how they stand up. All right. Well, everyone go start looking at fat guy hockey fights and know that your day is made. All right. So we will return.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tub. Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, we still are missing one of our, you know, kind of go-to scorers, obviously, in Fournier, but it sure helps when we have more bodies healthy. So it's not, I don't think it's brain surgery. You know, I think we've got guys that have now played a little bit together, getting in a rhythm together. Jalen, Jason, Kimber are all out there. You know, of course we're going to look a little different.
McCollum reaching for the ball, 4 on a shot clock. It's got to be Tatum. Stepping to his right, tough 3.
Oh. Get it!
A dagger from Jason Tatum. With 7.8 to go, makes it a 2-possession game. And the Eastern Conference Player of the Week gets a head start on next week's award.
That's how you make your week so good. Game winner.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We'll get to the Celtics for a second. In a second, there's a big to-do about Anthony Edwards, who I like. But he doesn't know who A-Rod is. They ask him about A-Rod, who's going to buy, along with someone else, going to buy the Timberwolves. And the one thing
Ivan's
about
up here, this is him being told.
It's not even necessary.
No, it's great. His reaction is fantastic.
All right, I don't think it's that great, but okay, go ahead.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? Who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
All right, so here's my point on that, is that he's 19, and if I'm covering the team, he sits down, he's not paying any attention, he's playing with his hair, he's giving you half-ass answers. I mean, how much crap do you have to take being a beat writer? Like, I got to sit down and listen to this 19-year-old kid F with me? Get out of here, kid. Get up and walk away, and I tell him to F off.
Why do you think he's effing with him? He doesn't know who he is.
No. I don't care about the answer. That's why I didn't want you to play it, because I don't care about the answer. That's not the point. The point is visual. You can't hear it. He sits down. He's playing with his hair. He's screwing around. And then I got to sit there and ask him questions. Get out of here. You're 19. I don't care what you do for a living. And short of you cured cancer, get out of here, 19-year-old. I wouldn't take that from anybody.
I don't think he was disrespectful.
I think he was completely disrespectful. And that's why I didn't want you to play the audio, because you're getting all tangled up, and that's not what I'm saying. I don't care that he doesn't know who A-Rod is. He sat down. He was very disrespectful, and I don't like that. And I can only imagine being a beat writer and having some 19-year-old kid whose big claim to fame is he played 2 games at Georgia come in and start. He can't be bothered talking to me. And this is what I got to do for a living. It would drive me insane. Insane. If that was the case. And I understand if he doesn't want to do it, well, listen, he's got to do it and I got to do it. And if he's acting like that, I don't like it. I saw that. It would drive me nuts. A 19-year-old disrespecting me like that, I would be very, very upset.
Yeah,
that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I didn't get that impression. I didn't see the entire press conference, but
I didn't see the entire press conference. I just saw the clip, and he sits down. He's playing with his hair. Fan? What are you talking about, fan? Okay, all right. Yeah, don't talk to me like that. Nope. No. I don't like that. That would drive me nuts. So cross off one thing I'd never do for a living.
Be a
beat writer.
Yeah.
That sounds like absolute torture. Like, the way they all have to, like, laugh while they're getting, like, everyone's, like, crapping on them, and you got to, like, kind of, like, laugh and, like, be good-humored about it while everyone treats you like garbage. And then for your efforts, it gets played. And you're the clown that just is sitting there having to take it. That would drive me nuts. Nuts.
You see, there's Belichick clips that I would go, all right, I wouldn't be able to do that.
It's different. I don't like them both. It's different reasons. So Belichick's just being a huge prick. I'm just putting in the totality of I'm covering the Timberwolves. I have to talk to these people every day. And I got a 19-year-old kid who would rather be anywhere else in the world. And he's not engaged. And it would drive me crazy. It would drive me nuts. Yeah, Belichick, my fantasy every time that I hear Belichick go after, like, Reese or something, is just for one of them to just go, you know what, this is my last day on the job. And just go, F you, man, boob, old man. Get out of here. You, who the hell do you think you're talking to? Step off the lectern and let's go.
I think that's been the dream of a lot of people in the media who have undergone the last 20 years of beatings from Belichick, to have them be under 500 or have them win 4 games and Bill come out and be the same way.
Well, is that why,
see
is
what
that
happens?
Why Breer kind of got, like,
yes,
that's exactly why.
Well, Breer, it was respectful, but he just kept following
well,
up.
Well, Breer's story is that when Breer, from my understanding, is that Breer covered, obviously, the Patriots for the Globe and had a good relationship with Belichick. And then when he went and, like, Belichick, like, you know, did him solids, and he did solids for Belichick, nothing unsavory, but just, you know, professional. And then when Breer went national, Bill felt he was being disrespectful.
Well, yeah,
and was treating him in a way, and was treating him in a way that he wouldn't have treated him as a beat reporter. So there was difficulty in the change in the relationship. You understand what I'm saying?
I think this might be the clip that we're talking about.
How's Rob look? I didn't know he was out there yesterday.
He's been out here every day. He's been in camp the whole... He hasn't missed a day of camp.
Kronkowski?
He was here the first day of camp. He's been doing the same thing every day.
How's he look recently? He was out. I know he's been out.
He's been doing the same thing every day. Same thing every day. Okay. For those of us that have been here, it's the same thing every day.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing every day.
Okay, that's one of them. That's Albert.
Where's the Albert that's one? Where's that one?
That's the one I was looking for.
They need to get like a guy who's made more money than Belichick in there. A guy in the media that if they can find one who's made more.
Doesn't care. Like
but like someone who can, someone who can draw the trump card on him. Like, because Shaughnessy at the end of the day is needs Belichick. Like, bring some guy like. I'm trying to think of anyone but Howard Stern who's like made like $100 million in media, and like bring him in there, and then Belichick starts talking, and then you're just like, what are you talking about? I made $100 million in my life. Are you talking to me like that? You think you're better than me?
You just need someone who follows, because it's amazing how many people are afraid to follow up with Bill Belichick.
Ryan Seacrest has paid the fly. Ryan Seacrest's job is to get from point A to point B without collapsing.
Oh, here we go. Here's the Albert moment.
Are there any questions to whether or not Rob was ready to return? Because obviously it looks like it's the same injury. That's what we've heard, that it's a broken arm. We get the same arm. Was there any question whether or not he was ready to go?
He wouldn't have played if he wasn't.
Do you have any regret in playing him, seeing that he had the same injuries before?
The doctors handle medical decisions, Albert.
There it is.
You got Albert.
That's a guy on the S list now, Junior.
Yep, he had been sitting in his office. He had been, you know, they had, you know, beers together or whatever. I don't know if they did or not, but you know, they had been, you know, they had been hanging out together, and all of a sudden he's with the national media. He's going to talk to me like that. That's what that is. Yeah.
I don't even think you need someone who's, like, you know, made more money or anything like that. I think you just have somebody come in there who just, like, that job isn't everything. You know, like, you could just go in and say, why are you acting this way? I just asked you a question. That's all. This is a question and answer, a give and take of information. You don't have to be condescending. That's all you have to do.
Just a natural, like,
we don't deserve this.
Like, if you're being bitchy, like, I can be bitchy back to you. Like, you know, we're gonna have like a normal conversation. People don't understand my thing with the Anthony Edwards or whatever the hell his name is the
no, that's
Anthony,
right.
Is Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's right.
I just think of my man from Goose. Revenge of the Nerds.
ER. Sure.
Yeah, he's always the dude from Revenge of the Nerds to me.
Yeah.
But if he was in Revenge of the Nerds, he was.
Yes.
But I don't know. I saw it and they played it a bunch of times, and I might be the only one who sees it, but for me, it seemed really just the kid didn't want to be there, and the fact that he's 19 years old would drive me nuts. I don't care how much money he makes. I don't care that he's an NBA player. It's none of that. It's that it's a professional setting. There's a 19-year-old kid, and just the whole thing just would drive me crazy. It just would drive me nuts. And is it a me issue? Most likely. Obviously, most likely. But nonetheless, I'm paid to express my opinion, and that's my opinion on it, is that it would drive me nuts. I could not do that job. Dan, I would not want to do that job.
Dan had a good idea. Let's just cut Johnny Miller loose on Bill Belichick.
Oh, Johnny Miller's the best. You want to talk about a guy who's got carte blanche to say whatever he says.
Yeah.
Johnny Miller is the biggest ball buster in sports
media.
There
it is.
I love Johnny Miller.
Yep, and there's nothing they can do. He's been there forever.
Yep.
There's nothing they can say. He's
carte
not going anywhere.
That guy.
He's one of those guys. I'm not even sure if he gets paid. Like, you think WSB and him, like, have, like, contract negotiations?
I have been at Fenway Park, you know, like, day game after a night game, because I would be covering the team every day. Johnny Miller had his own parking spot, like, away from the rest of the media. I saw him he had slept overnight in his car next to Fenway, gotten out and gone back in.
Like, you know how you sign a contract? You really think that he sat down, like, at a table and negotiated with WSB? It's just one of those things. He's grandfathered in. He's never going anywhere. He's going to have the job forever.
Yep.
Like, it's a nice perk that a paycheck shows up every couple weeks. But, I mean, he doesn't care.
Most of his questions are basically, tell me why you're the worst coach of all time.
Yeah, like, the numbers show that you're terrible. To illustrate that to you, here they are, and you have to sit there and take it.
And the manager's always like, you know, Johnny. Like, I remember when it used to be Bobby Valentine versus Johnny Miller, and that was some of the best theater. hitter ever.
Well, you can't charm Johnny Miller.
He gives zero F's.
Bobby Valentine was trying to charm the man.
And it didn't work on Johnny Miller.
And Johnny Miller was like, I sleep in a car. I drive down to Fort Myers in like a Yugo.
I'm there 2 weeks early, bitch. Get ready.
They paid me $1 a game. I'm staying at a Knights Inn, like sharing a room with two other guys.
God, he was so good. He is so good. I mean, he does such a great
job. He's like,
job.
I got nothing to lose. This job is paying me nothing.
He's one of the few things that make post-game Red Sox press conferences worth listening to.
Yeah. You know,
like when the team's doing bad, it's Miller time.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
you could ask him to do the Patriots, but then it would be a whole other, like, he'd have to get in a whole other routine and it ain't happening.
That's true. You can't sleep outside.
No, you
got to go home.
You know, there's too much business is going on around there. All right. Well, I apologize for going sideways. Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Oh, how to be the son of a champion and still get banned from the Masters. The NBA's play-in tournament is getting some backlash from the NBA. And do we have a new front runner for permanent host of Jeopardy?
All right. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
Oh, hang on. Breaking news. Bernie Madoff dies in prison. He just died.
Oh, mm-hmm. I hope they were giving him proper medical care. I mean, he left us too soon. Left us too soon. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, or Tusher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
I want to play this one more time. We played it at the very beginning of the show, but I thought it was really interesting. So, I mean, the Celtics, if you didn't stay up till after midnight last night to watch the end of that thing, it was a great game. And the Celtics have become, over the last couple of weeks, basically the opposite of what they were before. Usually at the end of games, they would figure out a way to blow it. Now they're figuring out ways to win it. On top of that, Jason Tatum, one of his biggest criticisms, essentially since he's been a Celtic, is he's not that guy. Like, if for being a number one, you need a guy who can close out games and can be clutch. And last night, we obviously did see him at the very end of the game pull this
McCollum
off.
McCollum reaching for the ball. Four on a shot clock. It's got to be Tatum. Stepping to his right. Tough three. Oh. Got it! A dagger from Jason Tatum.
And that's something you never hear. A dagger from Jason Tatum, and it's good to see that. On top of that, Jason Tatum is becoming more aggressive. Remember that play, I think it was the Sixers game, that you know everyone looked at where he just took the ball, dribbled it for what, like 20-something seconds, yeah. And then just chucked up a three?
Yep.
He's been the opposite of that since then. He is passing the ball. Matter of fact, most importantly, he's doing something that anyone who's a fan of Jason Tatum has been screaming for him to do. He's getting to the paint, and he's drawing fouls because his game in that area has gotten so much better this season. And now, like last night, he was able to get to the line or at least shoot 10 free throws, which is exactly what he should be doing. So he's playing a lot better, but Kendrick Perkins likes to go back to the moment that he called him out on Twitter saying that he did not have the proper body language, that he wasn't acting like a leader, and Perk addressed that moment and how things have changed since then.
The thing that I appreciate about Jason Tatum is that he didn't get sensitive. He didn't go back at me on Twitter or social media. Guess what he did? Guess what ended up happening? We actually had a phone call conversation and we talked about it. He called me and we talked about it. And I told him, like, hey, man, I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been a huge fan of yours. I just feel like you have it in you to elevate your game even more. You could get 25 in your sleep, but I think that you could separate yourself and be up there with the superstars, and I feel like you got more in your game and that you could take over this team.
The butthurt is flowing from the Boston Celtics right now, and it seems to be working. You have had, in the past week or so, not only Jason Tatum, obviously that happened right there, and he's spoken a little bit about how he's been called out. You had Marcus Smart, even after yesterday's game, saying, I've heard everybody saying that I suck at defense. Now he's turned things around, defensively at least. And actually, offensively, he's passing the ball more than he used to. He used to just chuck everything up, and he's still got a little bit of that, but it's getting a little bit better. And then Jaylen Brown has mentioned that as well. So they're hearing the talk, and they've been probably hearing the talk from their own GM as well, and that seems to be working. But I do like the fact that this team is so damn infuriating. I can't figure out why they haven't been doing this in this entire time. Jason Tatum, I guess, is just started recently using an inhaler because of his lungs from the COVID. That's the first I heard him talk about it yesterday. I guess when he first came back, John, is that right?
Yeah.
That was something he wasn't doing, and it's basically helping him now?
Yeah, he says he's almost back to 100% now, but back when he first started playing again after COVID, he had a hard time getting his wind, so he started using an inhaler and has for the last period of time. Yes.
Okay. So there you go. An infuriating team. You just wonder why they couldn't play at least defense to this level. But it's been a good run. They've won 6 out of 7. So there's been a lot of talk about who's going to be the next host of Jeopardy. And there's been even more talk about how Aaron Rodgers has been doing. So this is his second week of hosting Jeopardy. And there was an article that came out yesterday where one of the biggest executives on the show has come straight out and said that right now, Aaron Rodgers seems to be doing the best job of anyone and could be a legitimate front runner to take over the job permanently. Now, Aaron Rodgers, whether in jest, has come out and said that this is something that he would be willing to give up football for. And why wouldn't you do that? He'd probably get paid pretty well to be the host of Jeopardy.
Well, the working
cracked in the ribs.
Well, he said it takes like 40 days or something. Like, there's it's a nothing job.
You film most of it during the summer, and I guess what Green Bay has Tuesdays off.
I think he's I think he literally said they film 40 days or 60 days or something. Like, it's
okay.
they didn't never work. Like, Alex Trebek didn't have to work.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it seems like the easiest job in the history of mankind. By the way, if you're the producer that filled in like right after Trebek died, and you're like a guy who's got hosting experience, what are you doing? Just give the guy the job. The producer guy. There was the first guy that filled in was the producer of the show who has show hosting experience.
I thought it was the dude who Ken Jennings.
Yeah. The first guy. Yes, Dan. The first guy was the handsome fella.
Okay. He also was the one that came out and made the announcement about Alex passing.
Yes.
From what
I hear in the street, the Inda. Is that this producer guy is the guy that's going to get the job?
Well, I've got to be honest. I haven't watched a ton of it.
Oh, but you don't play it on your phone? You don't give them $100?
I don't.
You don't give them close to $100 to play with fake Jeopardy money like I do?
But last night, I wanted to see what the hype was. So I watched an entire episode of Aaron Rodgers hosting. And listen, I get nervous.
How many Kleenex later? I mean, we got that honk in a suit.
Full box.
Honk in a suit.
Aaron Rodgers is not that good. But then again, you know how tough it's got to be to never host something and step up there and just to be able to do what
he's doing?
That's
why it's going to be the producer, because the audience that is invested in the show, like, I apparently, like, has, like, okayed that guy. Like, they're like, all right, he was close to Alex.
But he's loved. Everyone's loving Aaron Rodgers, and every once in a while he slips in a little joke. Like, there was one about Titletown, and there was a joke about the Green Bay Packers, and he goes, and nobody knew the answer. He goes, the Green Bay Packers? And somebody said, you know, who won all these banners between the 60s? And someone said the Boston. He goes, oh, you knew that one, didn't you? And, of course, the clip goes viral, and everybody loves it. But
it
other than that,
funny.
Fred, it's like when they go to Aaron Rodgers, like when the board is empty, he goes, and we'll be back after commercial.
Yeah, he's a dud. Of course, they want to milk this as much as possible. To get his name, live it up. You're very fortunate. You have a superstar quarterback that is hosting the show after, you know, the guy that hosted it for 75 years. And what a work. What did Alex Trebek do with all his time? That is the real question.
He had a guest shot on Cheers once.
I mean, if the dude was working, he had 320 days a year off. So, like, what was he doing 320 days a year?
Yeah. Apparently the one person who has bombed their audition, and I haven't seen it, and I don't know if it's aired yet or whatever,
but Dr.
apparently
Oz.
Dr. Oz was a dick.
Well, everyone hates Dr. Oz anyway, because unless you like him living in a colon. He's stalling from our issue, Hustler.
He loves walking through giant colons. That he does.
Yes, indeed. He was the inventor of that. But, so the word on the street, guys, if I may, is that, this producer dude is got it. It's him or the nerd that won a bunch of them.
Ken Jennings.
But Ken Jennings is too much baggage with his tweets.
Very controversial, Ken Jennings tweets.
Very controversial, Ken Jennings tweets. Very controversial.
Well, can you imagine being the son of golf royalty and being forever banned from the Masters?
I mean, what hijinks. Well, I saw this. What did his brother call it? Shenanigans.
Yeah, right.
So the Masters, obviously needs to get over itself. And if you ever need to know kind of what level that they are way too in love with themselves, it would be that Wayne Player, who is the son of course, Gary Player.
But by the way, Wayne Player, when you think son, you think of precocious 9-year-old running around the golf course.
60 or something.
This is a man of 60, 70 years old. This is a guy carrying his father's golf bag. And this guy is like 65.
So he's like the caddy.
What a loser.
There was this ceremonial tee shot.
By the way, I'm sure Gary Player was around a lot and very faithful to your mother. What a relationship you must have had with your dad. Talk about scrambling to recover something that was lost in childhood. You're carrying the dude's bag. You're 65 years old. What a tool. Like what a loser. Yeah, all right, so go ahead, Rich.
So there was a ceremonial tee shot for this guy, Lee Elder, the first black man to play at the Masters, and they're having this big moment.
They had to make a big deal about it because of the voting suppression stuff. So they said, let's make a big deal out of Lee Elder this year. Okay,
yeah, that's right. So he was up there on the tee box, and in the background, Wayne Player, of course, Gary Player's son, who was standing there dressed as the caddy and everything, was standing clearly holding a sleeve of Encore golf balls in a way to give the logo maximum visibility. So he's just handing a little box of golf balls.
Viewers saw and complained.
Yeah.
Like people saw this. First of all, this guy's the world's biggest loser. And if you know what? God bless you. If you think everyone wants Gary Player's golf ball, does it come with the little rascal too? I mean, the guy's 90 years old. What's he hitting off the ceremonial tee? I need to go buy 10 gross of them.
So the dude was interviewed, his son, and said, the only thing I thought from that point is it'd be cool for the fans to know what ball my dad was teeing off.
Yeah, okay. My dad. Dude, you should have grandkids of your own, you old prick. Walking around in like some plumber's outfit carrying the ball for your dad? Go screw.
He said, if I hurt people's feelings, then I truly am sorry, and I hope they'll forgive me. And then Wayne's brother was pissed. Wayne's brother thinks he disgraced the family. And he said, Wayne has been correctly banned from Augusta National, the Masters. Well, this is his brother. What a shame. What an embarrassment. What a bad decision to allow him on the first tee after years of similar shenanigans. Oh. My apologies to all. Boy.
Yeah, so people watched that and actually saw that the dude was holding up a sleeve of golf balls, which is hysterical. There's no winners in this. Everyone's a huge loser. The guy who's carrying the bag for his 90-year-old father, absentee father, which I'm just imagining in my head, but I would imagine I'm right. You think a guy in the 60s playing on the professional golf tour that's from South Africa and played in the United States half the year?
You're not taking no plane either. You're driving everywhere.
You think he was faithful to that guy's mom? Yeah. I mean, get out of here. And so you're holding the bag for this guy. He's a loser. Everyone watching is a bunch of losers. Everyone's a loser.
Okay.
That's what I got. And then his brother's even more of a loser for saying shenanigans and knowing how to spell it. Who knows how to spell shenanigans? That's terrible. You don't know that.
No.
All right. Well, we're going out like crazy here. We're going out with an exclamation point. Fred out of character called people losers. All right. We will be back tomorrow. Danny Ainge is going to join us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bankroll Boys, right?
Zolak 2-3. Go!
All right. We'll leave you with that. Everyone have a great day. Zolak's throwing actual heavy stuff at me. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.